If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, verse 30. Last week at our Kingsmen conference, our speaker used this text as one of his messages, and something in that caught my attention and grabbed a hold of it, and so I'll begin to speak to my heart kind of in a different way. So in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. Precious, precious, precious word of God. God told Ezekiel, said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts today. Let us be responsive to your word, to your will. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. There is no doubt in our world today, and especially as our speaker last week, his theme was, is for men to take a stand and come out from among them and make up the hedge and stand in the gap and be what men's supposed to be today as the high priest of the home. But as I looked at that passage of scripture, and it caught my attention, Brother Steve, that if God was seeking out a man to stand the gap and make up the hedge, somebody must be hiding. If he was seeking, somebody must be hiding. How do you remember the days when you was a kid, and maybe you still do somewhat, play hide and seek? And how many has played with babies and had the same idea as this little boy did? He's hiding behind a pole, thinking nobody can see him because he can't see nobody. And we have that idea and that mentality sometimes that just because we feel like we're hiding, God can't see us. Oh, but he can. Oh, but he can. And as this message progressed and God spoke to my heart, hey, I've got some goodies for you, but at the end of this message, I got a whole heap of goodies for you, okay? So stay with me. And as we look into the Word of God, if God is seeking, somebody's hiding, and we got to come out from the bushes.
Amen.
When Ezekiel wrote this book and this particular passage, his land was in a mess, very much like ours is today. Morality and injustice was a thing of the past. Even the prophets was playing church, as they had a form of godliness but denied the power thereof. They had a form of God, they had a form of church. They proclaimed that God had spoken when God hadn't said anything to them at all because of their heart condition. They was just going through the motions and having church, and yet no manifestation of God's presence or God's power. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful for this church that we can come and worship and we can join together in unity. In unity and in corporation as we worship and we praise and we magnify the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, church, there's folks in Ukraine right now who would give their right arm to be where you are right now. There is folks across the globe in China and many of the other places across the globe that would love to have your place right now and feel what we felt this morning already. There are two main reasons why we hide. Are you ready? How many knows why you hide? You're either hiding from someone or something, or your spouse. Or either you're hiding from something, but we're needing to do something. We hide because we need to do something. You guys ever wonder, or your ladies ever wonder where your husbands are when the trash needs to be taken out? Or the dishes need to be done and the floors need to be swept? meddling now, but I'll get back to the message. In this instance, God desperately needs us to stand up and be and do what's right. To stand against the wrong and to stand up for the right, just as it was in Ezekiel's days of the deterioration of moral values. There was no love, there was no care, there was no regard for life or property. And we too, in this time, we too easily could have been inserted and integrated into Ezekiel's message in the pages of his writings. You believe that? Definitely we could. So just as God was making an appeal to Ezekiel for someone to stand in and be counted, God is making that same appeal today. He's looking for someone that'll stand in the gap and make up the hedge. But man is still hiding. Two things. We're either afraid of exposure or we're afraid of the call. Oh, come on, somebody. You're not amening as good as I'm preaching. We're either afraid of exposure or we're afraid of the call. We find in the scriptures that Elijah ran for his life from Jezebel. He hid underneath a juniper tree or what was a broom tree that they called it, and asked God to let him die. He was hiding from those who was trying to kill him while overlooking the one who was preserving him. Amen. Oh, I like that. Did you get a hold of that? We sung about the amazing grace of God. We sung about redemption. We sang about, this is exactly where we are. We're running from those that try to kill us, and we're ignoring him that is trying to preserve us. That's what he was doing today. He's given you that fresh anointing and that fresh love that you might run this race because the journey's too great for you. Amen. We'll get to that shortly. While overlooking, if he'd just hung around Jezebel, he wouldn't have to worry about asking to die. But he was overlooking the one that was preserving him, feeding him, and reviving him. Sometimes we have a tendency that we look so much on the bad side, on the dark side, on the what we're going through, that we fail to understand and realize that he's carrying us through those hard times. We used to hear a lot about the footprints in the sand, but we don't hear much about them anymore because we have forgotten about those times. 1 Kings chapter 19 verses 1 through 4 said, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. He took a stand for God. Then Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life, the life of one of them, by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Bathsheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, Is it enough? Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." God fed him. God sent the angel to build a campfire, baked bread for him, and told him to arise and eat because the journey was more than he can endure on his own. So the journey is more than we can endure on our own. Sometimes things get to going pretty good, and we forget about that it's God's grace that things are going as good as they are. And we lose our dependency on God, and we think we can handle it ourselves. I shared with a preacher friend of mine this morning. We was visiting a little bit on the phone, and we talking about becoming independent. I'll never forget, as long as I live, God taught me a lesson that I don't want to ever forget. How many's ever been taught a lesson from God you don't want to ever forget? It was on the old church on Tulsa Street, and I preached a message one night, and I felt like my message barely made it to the edge of the altar, and fell on the floor. Nobody was listening. Nobody was paying any attention whatsoever. And I just asked for a general altar call, and people come for people to come to the altar. And I figured about 5 minutes, and we'd be through and be ready to go home. And I'd go eat a hot dog and forget it. Get back in the saddle next week. And I turned around on the platform and began to pray. And as I was just praying and feeling sorry for myself because nobody was responding. The preachers are human too. I heard different ones crying out to God. And I'd hear somebody snub. And hear somebody cry. And I turned around and looked. I couldn't help myself. I turned around and looked. The altars were full. People were praying, worshiping, and seeking God. And Pastor Mike said to himself, well, what did I say and what did I do? And I almost audibly heard the voice of God say, you didn't do it. I did. You didn't do it. I did. You talk about having a prayer meeting of my own. I had a prayer meeting of my own, asking God to forgive me and letting me never forget that it's all about Him. It's not about me. But we often forget, and we try to get in that mode of being self-sufficient, and we can do it all on our own. But I'm here to tell you, we need God every moment of every hour of every day. And I believe with all my heart, I need Him more today than I did yesterday. I know that I do. God told Elijah, He said, arise and eat, for the journey's too great. You can't endure it on your own. And so that's why we come to the house of God. That's why it's vitally important that you're faithful to the house of God. God speaks to the minister. God speaks to the preacher. God speaks to him that He prepares a table before me that just exactly what you need is why you need to be here, because God loves you that much. Elijah was hiding from Jezebel because she was going to kill him. He had just annihilated the prophets of Baal, top of Mount Carmel. We was there back in 2018. Wasn't that a glorious spot to see and look over the mountain to the valley of Megiddo? So I ask you, have you ever made a stand like Elijah did? Against the prophets of Baal, and then you kind of woke up, come to yourself, and said, what in the world am I doing here? Wasn't that what Elijah was saying? Come on, church. You need to preach with me a little bit this morning. I've got enough notes to keep you here till 1 o'clock. It'll go a lot easier if you'll just preach with me for a little bit. You say, well, I'm leaving anyway. Well, you can try, but I've got security back to that. Have you ever reached that place? You took a stand. And I'm kind of thinking about Brother Chris just a little bit. Things he shared to me, dear God, why did I take this stand? But God's faithful.
Amen.
You ever felt like that, Chris? Kind of went through your mind. You ever took a stand on your job? Not working on Sundays. Hello. Elijah was also hiding from God to keep from entering a journey that was laid out for him. But within himself, he wasn't sufficient to run that race. Are you listening to me this morning? God told him, arise and eat, for the journey's too great for you. So he was preparing him, and Elijah was hiding underneath a juniper tree, so God couldn't find him and wanted to die anyway. And God said, you need to rise and eat. I've got a journey laid out for you. You can't do it on your own, but I am sufficient, and I will sustain thee, and I will keep you, and I will give you the strength to do that journey. Chris, God will. And then we look at Jonah. He is running from his responsibility and obligation. Finding obscurity in the belly of a ship, only to find shortly he found refuge of uncertainty in the belly of a fish.
Amen.
Hiding from God. Jonah 1:1 says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, So go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because the wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. And he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare — sometimes the fare we paid is way more expensive than what we thought — he went aboard, sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind to the sea. Such a violent storm arose, the ship threatened to break up. And all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea and lightened the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck. Somebody listen to me. We often try to hide below the surface. And he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." Listen. Hiding from God, keep from doing his will, can desensitize our ability to even hear what God is saying and to motivate ourselves in his direction to do his will. It will desensitize you. When God's trying to feed you, when God's trying to equip you, when God's trying to get you to a position and a place that you can run the race and do what he wants you to do, we're hiding below the surface. Amen. When we run and try to hide from our calling.
Yes.
Are you ready for this one? When we try to run and hide from our calling, we'll inevitably find ourselves in a stinky and smelly place that'll make us sick. God's got better things for you. I said, God's got better things for you. Evidently, by your response, I'm feeling that you're going to think I'm going to ask for you to go on a missions trip. Because you're awful quiet. I'm just trying to get you to a place that you make yourself available for what God
Amen.
Wants you to do.
Right.
Adam and Eve hid themselves from the one who sees through the darkness and the densest forest.
Right.
He's omnipotent, omnipresent. Did you get that?
Yes.
Adam and Eve was hiding themselves from the one who sees through the darkest and most dense forest. Genesis 3:7 says, "And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." Don't you know? You can't hide from God.
Right.
You can run, but you can't hide.
Right.
And not only can we not escape his vision, his knowledge and his insight can pierce the depths of your thoughts, your motives, and your desires.
Yes.
Adam and Eve used leaves to cover their nakedness, but they could not conceal the actions of their disobedience. I tell you, I've got some good stuff. If you'll just preach with me for a little bit. Adam and Eve sewed leaves together to cover their nakedness, but they could not conceal the action of their disobedience. Neither can we. Then we find that Saul was chosen for a time and a place to fulfill God's will for that particular time. And Saul hid from his calling and from his anointing. Are you hiding from your calling? Are you hiding from your anointing? Are you missing the best that God has for you? Because I won't submit to what God has for us. He wasn't just hiding because he didn't want to, for Samuel to expose him as a new king. He was hiding from God's anointing and his calling. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 20. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, and the family of Merari was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken, and when they sought him, they could not find him. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. He sought for a man that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap. But this man that was missing his anointing and his calling was hiding among the stuff.
Amen.
If you read the story of Saul, you'll find that Saul was chasing donkeys and almost missed the meal that was made for a king. Again, could have missed his anointing while he was chasing the donkeys. Now that metaphor is that we can be chasing a lot of things and we can miss our anointing and our calling. Missing his anointing, his calling. Ninth chapter in the 22nd verse, it says, Then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the hall and seated them at the head of those who were invited, about 30 in number. And Samuel said to the cook, bring the piece of meat I give to you, the one I told you to lay aside. So the cook took up the leg of the lamb, the leg with which was on it, and set it in front of Saul. And Samuel said, here it, what has been kept you for? Here is what has been kept for you. Eat, because it was set aside for you for this occasion. From the time I said, I have invited the guests, and Saul dined with Samuel that day. It wasn't just an ordinary meal, church. God comes by. He's in our presence. But there's times he sets a particular special meal in front of us. Samuel knew that Saul was going to be anointed king. And so he told the cook, the chef, to set aside the leg of the lamb, which was the portion that was for the king himself. He did not even understand or did not know that there was a meal prepared for him that was prepared for a king. Church, I'm here to tell you today that God has prepared for you a meal that is one that has been anointed for the king's kid. And God wants to touch you. God wants to bless you. God wants to stir you. God wants to bring you to a position that he wants to anoint you for the calling that he has for your life. Don't be chasing donkeys when you're wanted at the table. Saul was right where he needed to be when he acknowledged God of who he was. But when he forgot who God was and exalted himself and tried to take matters in his own hands, the word of the Lord came to him and said, obedience is better than sacrifice. There is nothing that will take the place of doing it like God wants it done. That bears repeating. I said there is nothing in this world that will take the place of doing it like God wants it to be done. So I ask you today a very personal question. What are you chasing that will cause you to miss your anointing or the favorite meal of the king? I tell you today, behooves you and I to take inventory of our relationship with God and don't ever get too big for your britches. because your anointing will be taken from you. Stay sweet, stay humble, for the Lord will exalt you in His time. We get so confused at times and we think we can hide from God. We forget He is all-knowing, all-seeing, and everywhere all at the same time. So I ask you, we need to be aware that when we want to hide, that this is the good stuff, okay? Well, it's all good, but this is the gooder stuff. We need to be aware. And when we want to hide from Him, we need to let Him hide us. Yeah, you missed that one. That's good stuff, even if I did say it. We feel like we've got to hide from God when God is wanting to hide us in His pavilion. God wants to hide us in the shelter of His arms. God wants to hide us under His wing. He said, I love you so much, just like the little hen that would gather her chicks, as He spoke to the children of Israel, like the hen that would gather her chicks, but you would not hear my cry. I don't know if any of you, I know some of you probably have, but you've been out in the summertime when that little Benny hen had her little chickens, and a hawk would fly over and she'd make that little shrill noise, spread her wings, and those little chicks would come flying underneath her, and she would hover down over them and hide them and protect them. How many's ever seen that?
Amen.
That's what God wants to do to you.
Amen.
I said, that's what God wants to do to you. We can't miss our meal. We can't miss our anointing. We can't miss our call while we're hiding from God. Or we will miss it if we're hiding from God. But you need to cry out to God and let God hide you. Bring us to the point of an anointing that He anoints us at the time and the place that He has for you. He has for me. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 and 24 said, am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Verse 24. Can anyone hide in the secret places so that I cannot see Him? How many knew that was in the scripture?
Amen.
Mm. Ain't that good stuff?
Amen.
That's gooder than grits and greater than gravy.
Amen.
Can anyone hide in a secret place so that I cannot see Him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and the earth, declares the Lord? When we need protection, let Him hide us in His place of shelter. The Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. That's in in Exodus chapter 33, verse 21. And in Psalms 27, 5 said, for in the time of trouble He shall hide me. You don't need to be hiding from God. You need to let God hide you in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. He is our shelter in the time of the storm. Don't hide from God. Let God hide you.
Amen.
The little boy that you see on the screen, as he declares to those around him, I'm hiding. You can't see me. He stands in plain sight. His eyes closed. He can't see us, so he assumes we can't see him. Makes perfect sense to a three-year-old or a mature Christian that's trying to hide from God.
Amen.
Like him, I stand in plain sight of God. Close my eyes and shout, I'm hiding, God. You can't see me. Makes perfect sense to a frail, fallen human like me. But God watches. God knows. And He asks you the question that I read to you from Jeremiah. Can a man hide himself in a secret place so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Not at all. Hearing Him, I cry out to God. Psalms chapter 139, verse 7. Where shall I go from His Spirit? Where shall I flee from His presence? If I ascend to heaven, You're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, You're there. If I take up the wings of the morning, I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Even there Your hand shall lead me, and Your right hand shall hold me. Chris, would you go ahead and come to the piano, please? Romans, Paul says these words in chapter 8, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angel, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, or height, or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, Christ Jesus our Lord." Church, in that moment, we feel like running and hiding. Realize that the only hiding place is in God. When you feel like running and hiding, you feel like nobody cares. One of the first things that my wife told me before we was married, we was dating, that I'll never forget, when she felt sorry for herself or she felt sorry for me, she said, "Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I guess I'll go eat worms." So maybe today you feel like going and eating worms and hiding. But the only place to hide is in God. It don't matter how hard your heart is hurting or what it's hurting from. Our hiding place is Jesus Christ. He said our hiding place is Jesus Christ. He has a place. He told Moses, "There's a place beside me. There's a place that He has for us." That only place that we can find security is in Him. Place and strength and comfort that we can find through salvation is in our Lord Jesus Christ. For He is our hiding place. David said, "You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance." David said, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His arms, His wings. And underneath His wings you shall find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror by night nor the arrow that flies by day." Would you stand with me all over the building today? Because He is our refuge and He is our strong tower against our enemies.